If we don't arrange for solitude, then our chances of hearing the still small voice will be reduced.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about meeting God alone. I think I told you once before about a certain retreat that I went to, from which only one sentence remained in my mind, and it was this: turn your loneliness into solitude, and your solitude into prayer. And I want to talk about how we can meet God alone. You can meet God on the golf course. You can meet God while you're driving through city traffic. You can meet God as you're ironing or washing dishes or sitting at your desk or teaching your class. Not for a moment would I suggest that you cannot meet God anywhere. But the deepest things come out of the deepest solitude. And it's there that we have a chance to hear the still small voice. If we don't arrange for solitude, quiet, aloneness, then our chances of hearing the still small voice will be reduced. You remember the story of how when King Ahab had reported to Jezebel that Elijah had killed all the prophets, Jezebel sent word to Elijah, "Tomorrow by this time, you'll be as dead as they are." Well, Elijah, that powerful prophet of God who has endured so many troubles and tribulations, is terrified by a woman. He runs for his life, sits under a juniper tree in the wilderness, and prays for death. The story is in 1 Kings chapter 19. When he had reached Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there and himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came upon a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed for death. "It is enough," he said. "Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers before me." He lay down under the bush, and while he slept, an angel touched him and said, "Rise and eat." Am I talking to someone today who has fled off by himself, found himself a broom bush, sat down and said, "My life is over. It's the end of the world. There's nothing left to live for. I can't take it anymore. I can't stand it. Who needs me?" Elijah lay down under the bush, and while he slept, an angel touched him and said, "Rise and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a pitcher of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. I think it's interesting that there isn't a word about Elijah's being surprised to find an angel there cooking for him. The angel of the Lord came again and touched him a second time, saying, "Rise and eat. The journey is too much for you." He rose and ate and drank, and sustained by this food, he went on for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. He entered a cave, and there he spent the night. Suddenly the word of the Lord came to him, "Why are you here, Elijah?" "Because of my great zeal for the Lord, the God of hosts," he said. "The people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thy altars, and put thy prophets to death with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." The answer came, "Go and stand on the mount before the Lord." For the Lord was passing by. A great and strong wind came rending mountains and shattering rocks before him. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's the voice that you and I need to hear. We don't need fanfare and trumpets. We don't need loud music and thundering drums. We don't even need to be in church. We don't need to be at a seminar. And yes, I can say we don't even need to be listening to the radio. It might be the best thing in the world for you to turn that radio right off now and get alone with God. It's in the deep solitude that we learn the deep things. I believe that the Lord will send His angel to feed you when you're running for your life, when you're sitting in solitude, praying for death. If your eyes of faith are open, if you believe that God can really feed you with spiritual food, you're not likely to see an angel. You're not likely to see a cake of bread on a hot stone. But God has His own ways of meeting you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how to meet you. Maybe He will come. Maybe He will send His angel in the form of your next-door neighbor or the guy from down the hall in another office. You never know who the angel of God may be, the person who brings to you spiritual food, spiritual sustenance, and comfort. But you need to arrange always, every day, if possible, to meet God alone. If you've never done it before, let me recommend that you set aside 5 minutes. Maybe this means you're going to have to get up 5 minutes earlier. But find 5 minutes somewhere. Find a place. Spend that time, first of all, in just kneeling before God and telling Him that you're there to meet Him. If you know the Lord's Prayer, pray the Lord's Prayer. Very brief, but very comprehensive. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a wonderful prayer to pray. It's the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Use that if you want to. If you want fewer words, try the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I've used that prayer when I felt that I couldn't pray anything else. In my times of worst desperation, I remember when my husband Addison Leach had cancer, and he was so sick that he could hardly pray. I taught him the Jesus Prayer, which he had never heard before. It's one that has had a very long tradition of probably close to 2,000 years. It has met many people in their needs. And I remember one day, just a few days before Ad died, when he turned to me in the middle of a horrible situation, pain and suffering, which was just hideous. And he said to me, "Elizabeth, what was that prayer you taught me?" And so again we said it together. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. We need to be alone with God. Siegfried Sassoon, the poet, wrote these words. "When I'm alone," the words tripped off his tongue as though to be alone were nothing strange. "When I was young," he said, "I thought of age and loneliness and change. I thought how strange we grow when we're alone, and how unlike the selves that meet and talk and blow the candles out and say good night. Alone, the word is life endured and known. It is the stillness where our spirits walk, and all but inmost faith is overthrown." I don't really know anything about Sassoon's inmost faith, but I do know that aloneness is the stillness where my spirit walks, and all but inmost faith is overthrown. Someone has said that a man's true character is revealed in what he does when he thinks he's alone. Do you know what it means to meet God alone? I have prayer lists. I use them in my prayers, one list for Monday, another list for Tuesday, just because I have a poor memory. I have a list, of course, which I pray for every day, and I don't really need to have that written down. It's my family and my most intimate friends and other things that I need to pray for daily. But I also have a list of things which I think need to be done today. I lay all of those lists before God. I go through them. I try to meet him in the quiet of the morning. I try to listen. I ask him, Lord, what is on your list for me today? It's not primarily my list be done, but thy list be done. Lord, is there anything in this passage of Scripture that I need to take as a warning, some sin that I need to quit? Is there here some command that I need to obey? Is there something about Christ that I need to learn? Something about God that is a lesson for today? Open your Bible. Read a short passage. If you've never read your Bible before, I would say start with Genesis. Read two chapters in Genesis, and then read one in the book of Matthew. That's two chapters in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New. If you do that 6 days a week and read five chapters on Sundays, you'll get through the entire Bible in 1 year. It really won't take you very many minutes per day to read three chapters. Think about them. Pray that God will reveal himself to you in them. Pray that he will show you what to do. And listen for the still, small voice.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.